Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's June the 21st, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock. She's in Terre Haute at Terre Haute Grain. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with all the day's agricultural news, including it's finally happened, maybe, possibly. Japan says if U.S. plants pass inspection, beef trade will reopen. We'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. That'll happen just after the bottom of the hour today. And along the way, we'll hear what's been happening on the South farms. It's all happening on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago, on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. July wheat at $3.72, up a nickel for the day. September futures, 4.5 higher, 3.89¼. July wheat in Kansas City at 4.82¼, up 9¼. From the Chicago Board of Trade Corn Pit, July futures at 2.32¾ were up 3 cents today. September's up 3 at 2.44¼. And the December contract finished the day at 2.59 for your harvest month. They were up 3 on the day. March futures, 2.70¾, up 3 cents as well. July soybean futures, 5.86¼, up a penny. The August up 1 at 5.93¼, and September's at 5.99¾, up a half. November beans up 0.75¢ at $6.12¾. Bean meal futures July contract 178.10. They were up 80. July futures up 16 at 24.44 in the bean oil. Feeder cattle from the Mercantile Exchange August contract 113.20. They were up 45. June live cattle at $81.75 were down 20. And July lean hogs down $1.10 today at $74.52. Outside markets, crude oil trading now at $70.25 a barrel for the August contract, 91 higher. The CRB index at 336.67, up 3.57. And the Dow at 11,097, up 124 for the hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade, the Mercantile Exchange, and in the outside markets is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's start with the Mercantile Exchange, where earlier today probably the news that was most important was out of Washington, and it appears that Japan will actually open its marketplace up to beef trade after it inspects a few U.S. processing plants. Did that translate into good news at the Mercantile Exchange?
You know, it is good news, and it's welcome news that we're finally and openly cracking the door or opening a door to sell some of the highest quality and safest beef in the world to Japan. It's hurt our cattlemen and the cattle industry and the meat processors and packing industry a great deal. Welcome news, and hopefully it will happen. Unfortunately, it will take a few weeks and months, I think, to make everything happen. The Japanese Prime Minister is coming to the U.S. soon, and it's one of those olive branches to prevent any kind of embarrassment between the presidents of two very large world trading partners.
I'm going to turn your attention to the corn, the soybeans, and the wheat. Futures in the wheat pit rallied again today. Is the low closer to being in?
Well, we hope so. And, of course, it's based on deteriorating a crop in the spring wheat areas of the U.S. and Canada. Other major marketing wheat-producing countries of the world are experiencing dry conditions. China, Russia, Australia, all are experiencing some dry weather, and it helps catch the attention of world wheat traders. Our general impression is, of course, South Dakota and North Dakota raise spring wheat, Minnesota, and it's dry in those areas. And, of course, it was quite popular when we had our world meeting with ADM investors in Chicago a year ago. They mentioned that it's quite popular to have one-third corn, one-third wheat, and one-third soybeans raised. And, of course, if it's dry in the wheat fields, it's dry in the corn fields as well. And I think that's one reason why we are seeing a rally in the corn because of the concern in the wheat fields of the upper Midwest.
And a bit later in the program, we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. He's awfully concerned, I think, at this point, potentially about Iowa. Not quite yet, but he says he's watching it closely. And what are you hearing from meteorologists?
Well, yes, from Des Moines West, it's a major concern, and of course, it was brought to my attention that the rootworm insecticide doesn't work very well in dry June weather. It's okay if you have a hybrid, basically pedigree is, bred to take care of that problem, but in dry fields, the insecticide doesn't work, and of course, whenever that happens, yields come down. Whether it rains or not on the further in the summertime, because the damage is basically getting started. Our general impression is that not only in western Iowa, but parts of Nebraska and the Dakotas, it's also dry. And it's something that some of the meteorologists and market people like Dan Bassey and Al Peterlin are basically saying that if it wasn't for the temperatures being a little bit on the cooler side, we'd see the market take a bigger, make everyone's attention level higher based on this dryness out there. Also, you can look at the radar map at the present time, and it's pretty dry in Iowa, and I think it's basically home free for the rest of the week. There might be some chances in the southern part, but it's basically what you see is what you're going to get until the middle of next week.
Do you think yesterday's lows in the corn market are low enough for the time
being?
Yeah,
I personally think so, and that's based on three things. Based on the general idea that demand is going to be good, we're building a lot more grain storage, the carryover is, we know that the carryover is quite large, but I think that we're going to have enough storage, enough demand in the export area, enough demand with ethanol, more grain storage, and I think that we are looking at a very low price level. And I also think that particularly east of the Mississippi, we will see price basis improvement compared with the last 2 years.
Just for comparisons purposes, I think that low yesterday was at, what, 253.5 for the corn nearby. Let's see. Is that right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. I'd have to take a look at the deferred and see where that was.
We also noticed buying in the deferred contracts yesterday, and it's been brought to my attention that, the commodity funds are going to be very active in those back months because that's where the real tightness is, the smaller production levels and the tighter carryovers are going to be next year's production and the following year.
And how much of an upside potential do you think this corn market, if 250, 253 for the DEIS contract is kind of a near-term low as we head into the summer months, what do we have left to the upside before we get into the harvest months?
Well, my general impression is that if we do come in with 80 million acres and a yield of something like, for example, 145 to 147 bushels, we could threaten $3 a bushel December corn futures if we would see a 3 to 5 bushel yield drop.
Let's take this one step further and deal with both old crop and new crop corn. 30 to 40% sold on your new crop. You've got some old crop left in the bin, maybe quite a bit. What's your plan at this point?
There's a tremendous carry in the marketplace, that's a marketing tool and marketing favor to take advantage of. As far as old crop is concerned, I would have, hopefully you'd be closer to complete on that. And as far as new crop, if you have that much sold, I definitely have some kind of bull call spreads to protect you on any kind of major market rally from here. I think that a person has to be extremely defensive. Everything we look at between the cost of production, the fertilizer cost, energy cost, it all augurs pretty well for some price strength. Maybe not in the next 3 months or 4 months, but in the next 9 months to a year and a half, we are looking at a definite change in the commodity prices, better prices. That shows up in the wheat market. That shows up even in the soybean market and definitely in the corn.
And so you're thinking higher lows on this marketplace and maybe spikes?
In the future, yes. Yeah.
And then tell me about the bean market and your overview.
The soybean market is, you know, the balance sheet's probably the hardest one to get friendly in as far as major grains being traded at the Board of Trade. The soybean carryover is very large, but the farmer in the U.S. and South America are very strong holders. The crush margins are excellent on soybean crush. The general impression is that until we have August weather and August rust issues put to bed, we're basically going to see this kind of a sideways market. The market has dropped considerably in the last 30 days from recent highs. The market is very stable and very stubborn to go down, and that you have to say that's really admirable at this time of year.
Paul, thanks much for joining us.
Have a profitable day, Todd.
You too. Paul Cooley with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Wednesday afternoons.
For Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
At the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with meteorologist Drew Lerner, World Weather Incorporated, out of Kansas City. Our own Ed Kieser says this afternoon a severe thunderstorm watch is in effect for all northern Illinois and portions of northwestern Indiana. That till 6 o'clock Central Time tonight. The heat index will top out around 100 degrees in central Illinois and in west central Indiana and exceed 100 degrees in southern Illinois and southwestern Indiana. Tonight, partly to mostly cloudy skies, says Ed. Scattered showers, a few thunderstorms, mostly in the north and central sections. Lows will range from 63 in northwestern Illinois to 73 in the south. And tomorrow, considerable cloudiness, some widespread showers, a few thunderstorms. Highs tomorrow, says Ed, from 82 in northwestern Illinois to 92 in the south. Tomorrow, by the way, wind speeds 5 to 15 miles an hour. The minimum relative humidity is between 45 and 60%. Dave Dickey's here now with the day's Ag News.
In agricultural news, USDA says it has reached an agreement with Japan that could reopen the market to U.S. beef after inspection of U.S. beef processing plants. USDA Agriculture Secretary Mike Johanns says Japanese inspection teams will arrive in the U.S. this weekend and conclude their work by July 21st. Japanese officials say they expect U.S. beef trade to resume quickly if no problems are discovered during on-site inspections. But the joint statement also indicated that only U.S. facilities which meet Japanese safeguards will be authorized to import to Japan. The deal was finalized after two four-hour video teleconference sessions that concluded early this morning. Japan also has asked the U.S. to ban chicken and pig meat as well as bone meal from cattle feed. USDA's Inspector General says the national strategy for protecting poultry farms from avian influenza relies too much on voluntary testing and monitoring programs. The 38-page report also indicated USDA does not have an appropriate mechanism for reporting surveillance activities to APHIS, the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service. The OIG says USDA needs to conduct a risk assessment survey of gaps in its surveillance efforts. A Senate panel on Tuesday approved a draft version of the fiscal 2007 agriculture spending bill. The $94.6 billion measure provides $18.2 billion in discretionary funds. The bill would also force USDA to tell the Government Accountability Office how much it's spent since 2003 on the nationwide effort to track animals. Senators offered no amendments yesterday, But North Dakota Democrat Byron Dorgan promised a disaster aid provision.
We offered it, as you know, in the emergency supplemental, and it passed unanimously. But we got to conference and ran into a wall. But I think it's inappropriate to quit. I think there are some farmers that desperately need that help, and my hope would be that I and Senator Burns will be able to offer that at the full committee as well.
The overall bill is $1 billion bigger than the $93.6 billion bill passed by the House in May. House Majority Leader John Boehner says expect a floor vote on estate tax legislation introduced by Ways and Means Chair Bill Thomas of California Thursday. Congressional Quarterly reports the legislation does not accomplish the GOP goal of full permanent repeal of the estate tax. Instead, for an individual, the measure would permanently exempt up to $5 million from taxation. The chairman of the Senate Finance Committee says a trade group representing meat packers continues to hold up an overhaul of the mandatory livestock price reporting system. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley says the American Meat Institute needs to revise its proposals.
Senator Hark and I are still negotiating on price discovery legislation. We could not accept from the American Meat Institute some language they gave us for protecting them. We think that it's a needless gesture. Well, we might accept something, but it was too all-encompassing for us to accept that. So that's the issue that's holding us up there.
Grassley also says mandatory country of origin labeling for meat might come up again in the Senate this year. Livestock feed ingredients shipped to 9 states may have been contaminated with cattle remains in violation of a 1997 ban to protect against mad cow disease. H.J. Baker & Brothers Incorporated said it was recalling 3 livestock feed ingredients, including 2 used to supplement feed given to dairy cows. A sample tested by the Food and Drug Administration was positive for cattle meat and bone meal. And American Farm Bureau Federation President Bob Stallman and other ag industry leaders say they'll travel to Geneva next week to monitor negotiations in the Doha round of world trade talks. Stallman says his mission is to insist that U.S. negotiators hold the line on demands for market access. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, urging you to visit our website at willag.org. Well, the research farm south of the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois is a busy place during the summer months. I was out there a couple of years ago and developed this sound portrait of activities. It begins in the soybean plot, where an agronomist is using a 4-row cultivator pulled by a small John Deere tractor. We were there yesterday, and that same John Deere tractor was still cultivating bean rows.
Dennis Thomas, agronomist with the University of Illinois.
Well, we planted, the farm crew here at the university puts on the herbicide for us, and we just come and plant and come back to cultivate and keep the weeds down and take maturity notes during fall and harvest it and weigh it and compare the yields to other yield plots.
Well, behind us here we have a lot of 4-row plots, and we're developing new varieties for the farmers. This is just the beginning stages of it. It takes 7 to 8 years to develop a variety, so this is the beginning. After we release it, it'll be available to the public to the farmers as well as private industry. They can use it for their breeding programs.
My name is Philip Stinnard. I'm the curator at the Maize Genetic Stock Center. This is the world's collection of corn mutants we have. Well, we're cultivating these fields. We have a lot of corn here that is pretty weak varieties of corn because we have a collection of corn mutants. And the plants aren't so vigorous and healthy, so we have to be really aggressive against the weeds. We generally don't use herbicides because these plants are kind of sensitive, and if we use herbicides, it'll burn a lot of leaves, so we have to go through and pull the weeds by hand. An example of a mutant, sweet corn, which accumulates sugar in the kernels, is an example of a corn mutant in a single gene.
I'm Fred Kolb. I'm a professor of plant breeding in the Department of Crop Sciences, and I'm going through hedgerows and selecting the ones that we want to keep and continue testing. A hedgerow is just a short row about 3 feet long, and all the seed came from one plant last year. So there's lots of genetic variability, and we're trying to select the best ones to test further.
It was a sound portrait of the University of Illinois South Farms activities. The South Farms are a research and education facility operated by the University of Illinois College of Agricultural Consumer and Environmental Sciences.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Bunge North America in Danville. Bunge recognizes the importance of agricultural production to our society and economy and the role producers and processors play in providing food and feed to the world.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened in the cash grain market is Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. It's a hot day, Kay.
It is a hot day, Todd. Yes, I have several farmers in here this morning that have been scooping grain out of bins, and let me tell you, they were not too happy about it either.
Oh, that means it's a hot, sweaty day. In that case, that just sounds like an awful job. That's one of the reasons I'm actually a broadcaster is I can't handle the inside of a bin. I sneeze too terribly much. I'm way allergic to that kind of stuff. So,
well, sometimes that can be a blessing, can't it, Todd?
Yes, it can. Tell me about the cash grain market in your area, please.
We have an improvement in the basis levels. We improved corn and beans both 3 cents on the upfront months today. So we are seeing a little bit of a basis move on the upside. Farmers have just been reluctant to sell anything since this market has backed off. So at least that may help a little bit anyway, and still not a lot of free DP around. There's still a lot of stuff in the country to move, but it's been very quiet, and we got some much-needed rain here, too much in some places. We've had some hail damage in some areas, but the farmers are very quiet and wanting to sell, but it's going to be a struggle to get back up to where we were.
I heard train cars were easier to get now. Is that right?
This is true. I talked to the railroad in Jacksonville the other day, and they tried to pawn off some system cars they had rolling around and no place to go. So, yes, this is true. Car supply has really loosened up here as of late.
Pawn off, that's an interesting way to put it. Did they offer you a good deal that you had to refuse?
Our Omaha people kind of do that anyway, so I deferred to their wisdom on this, but they refused them too. So that just tells you that farmer selling is very light and elevators aren't moving very much, so the cars situation has gotten a lot better.
Yeah, and if you've got everything in the ground and is it up and growing and it looking decent at this point, you had a tough time getting things planted.
Things still look a little rugged, Todd. I mean, I think the early planted corn, even though it's very uneven, looks really, really good. But some of the late planted stuff, we've got corn a foot tall and beans. Believe it or not, I talked to a guy this morning that still has got replant to do the third time on beans. Now, most of that's east of here, so really we've got beans just a little bitty short. They just don't look very good, no. They really don't.
That sounds more like South America than it does the Midwest when you get a planting season that runs that long.
Anybody that comes through Indiana says, boy, they really do have it rough over there. So things look really pretty rough, but hopefully maybe we can still end up with a halfway decent crop.
Your bids for the day?
All right, cash corn today is 216, cash beans 568, cash wheat is 314.
Thank you much. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd.
Kay Whitlock is with Terre Haute Grain out of Terre Haute, Indiana.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. The Danville City Council overruled the city's Planning and Zoning Commission last night and voted unanimously to rezone land next to the Bunge Milling Plant for a possible biodiesel fuel facility. Bunge Milling is considering Danville and other sites for the new plant. Officials with the company say they'll make their final decision in mid-July about whether to build in Danville. Union workers are protesting at the Vandalia, Dwight, Jacksonville, and Hillsborough State Prisons today in support of the 40 counselors striking at Sheridan State Prison. The drug counselors and technicians work for state contractor Gateway Foundation. They're demanding higher pay, lower health insurance costs, and a better retirement plan. They're asking Governor Rod Blagojevich to intervene in the situation. Governor Blagojevich signed a new law today that will provide $10 million to help schools reduce class sizes in kindergarten through third grade. The money will be doled out in $50,000 grants to help schools pay teacher salaries and benefits. Blagojevich says he hopes to expand the project by getting more money for it in the upcoming fall veto session. Authorities in southern Illinois are trying to figure out what made 20 people sick at the Carlisle Lake Marina last week. Clinton County Health Department Administrator Mike McMillan says the investigation so far hasn't identified any commonalities among those who became ill. Four large Wall Street firms have invested a combined $20 million to obtain minority equity stakes in the Chicago Stock Exchange's parent company. The company says Bank of America, Bear Stearns, E-Trade Financial, and Goldman Sachs all are involved in the investment. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is holding public hearings on a $2 billion plan to expand locks along the Ohio River. A hearing is scheduled tonight in West Virginia. Future hearings are planned for Illinois, Indiana, and Kentucky. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for our look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner, the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about weather over the next couple of days here in the Midwest, please.
Well, we've got a couple of stormy days still ahead of us. We've had some storms already across portions of the Midwest today. We're going to see that continue over the next day and a half. It looks like some locally heavy rainfall will occur coming out of portions of Kansas and advancing eastward into parts of Ohio, and this does include a fair amount of Illinois. We will see some additional thunderstorms, and some of them will be heavy. Probably 1 to 2 inch amounts will occur in localized areas. We expect most of the rainfall to probably run up to about 8/10 of an inch, but it will be a decent rainfall for most of the southern and eastern portions of the Corn Belt. We will continue a bias for dryness in the northwestern part of the region, and that's an area that I'm going to be watching rather closely now for a while. The Dakotas, parts of Minnesota, northwestern Iowa will get dry again, even though they had some rain here earlier this week, and even Nebraska will probably see some more drier weather as we evolve out beyond the next few days and talking about really the next 10 days across some of those areas. There will be a building ridge of high pressure over the western part of the United States over the next 5 to 7 days, and over time that high pressure ridge will advance into the plains and help to dry out the northern plains, the Canadian prairie, and the northwestern Corn Belt, and that's one of the reasons why I'm a little bit more concerned now about the future for crops in the northwestern Corn Belt, but everybody else will have plenty of moisture.
And then turn your attention to the Chinese corn and soybean crop. Tell me about the season so far.
Definitely interesting in China this year so far. We've seen dryness in the northeastern provinces where about half of the soybeans are produced. That dryness has abated here in the last week or so with timely rains occurring across that area. Heilongjiang is the province we're most interested in, and it has seen its topsoil come to the point of becoming nearly saturated. But there's a big area in east-central China where the other half of the soybeans are produced that has seen more than 3 weeks of dry weather, and temperatures this past week were frequently over 100 degrees, some pretty darn serious stress going on in parts of that region. Now, just last night, a frontal boundary started to drift into the region, setting off some showers and some thunderstorms. The distribution of that rainfall so far has not been very good, and only a temporary reprieve is expected. Those showers and thunderstorms will continue in east-central China for another day and a half to maybe two. We will see the southernmost parts of the dry region getting enough rainfall for a general easement, but we're only talking about maybe 30% of the dry area. The rest of the region is going to have to wait for another 5 to maybe 7 days before we get another good chance for scattered showers to evolve, and that'll be mostly next week. This point, we'll keep a close eye on that situation. I think we've already lost a little production potential in dryland crop areas, and there's potential that we could lose more if we don't get better rain.
Drew, we appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you, and have yourself a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner is a senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, and that is today's Closing Market Report. Remember to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first look at markets, and don't forget, you can listen to today's futures analysis, the cash grain analysis, and the weather right there on our website. Just go to willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at LincolnLandAgriEnergy.com.